Can't see masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're going to get to overreaction or reality in just a minute. But since we went so far down the path of lessons to learn from the MLB strike, I had a couple of quick other baseball notes for you. The Orioles are trashing MLB technology after Pete Alonso hit a supposed home run last night that was eventually ruled foul. It happened when it was 3-3 in the top of the eighth against the Yankees, who went on to win that game 5-3. And Pete Alonso said after the fact, "I think it's a simple fix, like football. Yeah, the pylon cam with the plane where it shoots right across the goal line. And I feel like for us, we could easily have a laser or a camera that shoots straight up. And so you can just go up for infinity and be like, foul or not foul." I kind of get it.
Not a bad idea. Or have a laser that shoots straight down.
Okay. Is that not what the lines are for?
From heaven.
Oh, my goodness.
Who's hitting the ball to heaven, Kevin?
There was a time when I would have thought McGuire or Giancarlo Stanton.
Mm. Stanton, interesting. McGuire, why? Because of...
He's creatine. Person. The cream in the clear was Bonds,
was it
right?
Androstack or
something? Oh, yeah, yeah. I think that's
wild.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there is a new statistic that has been developed to determine MLB's most valuable first baseman defensively. And they say it in the weird way of most valuable first base receivers. So the most valuable first base receiver is Alec Burleson with the Cardinals, followed by Freddie Freeman, Nick Kurtz. But in a tie for fourth, Jake Berger
from the
Texas Rangers.
He can pick it over there.
Is the fourth most valuable first base receiver.
We've had it is weird. Because I've never heard that term before.
Right.
But, so this is specifically when receiving a throw from somebody.
Yeah.
So not whenever the ball's up in the air, foul ball to him.
Correct.
Because then they'd be like, well, Berger's definitely not it. Or if it's a grounder hit.
Right, right.
But if it's thrown across the field at him, he can do it.
Yes.
All right, I like it.
All right. Now, for overreaction or reality, we start with this. Overreaction or reality... Donovan Ezeraku will prevent himself from having a breakout season. You see this in every story about one breakout player for every NFL team. It is almost always Ezeraku for the Cowboys. We've already had multiple fights in training camp, multiple talkings to however you want to put it. So overreaction reality. Donovan Ezeraku will prevent himself from having a breakout season.
I think it's overreaction, but... Good. Keep an eye on it. And here's what I want to know. Do you think the psychology of this is working against him right now? The Von Miller conversation probably lingered on for a long time before Von Miller got here.
Okay.
The whispers were probably happening.
Sure.
Max Crosby was already happening. Do you think he let the pressure get to him?
I'm going to say no. I understand where you're coming from. But I say no. I think it's just like natural aggressiveness that comes with the position.
I mean, when we talked to him, I still remember the look on his face when I was like, look, 3-4, 4-3, what works best for you? And he wanted to reach across and punch me.
Yeah.
Like, I do everything. I was like, dang. I think he got offended when I was like, hey, you grew. You know, early in the season, you weren't great at stopping the run, but you got better. And he was like, damn you. You know, I think he was mad about it. So maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. He did have some form of, he just has that natural aggression, and maybe he's getting it all out now. He's like, look, man, camp's the time to do this. Camp's the time to be this kind of guy.
And that's fair.
And stand out a little bit. And coaches, Mickey said it, maybe coaches don't want you to stand out in a way that you look like you're weak. They want you to stand out in a way where you look like you're tough and strong.
Right.
So maybe that's good for him. But I think it's an overreaction right now. I don't think you're going to have these same things during the season.
All right, Alec, we go to you. Overreaction or reality, Donovan Ezeraku will prevent himself from having a breakout season.
Overreaction, I don't think he's going to prevent himself, but I do think that this could be a problem. I still think that he's going to be what we expect. I think he's in a better system that's going to help benefit his play and his numbers. And I think he's going to be in the best spot to perform. But I do not think this issue is simply going to go away. I think you could see another situation like last year. Was it literally the final game of the season he got ejected?
Yeah.
So I think you could see something like that where it's like at the end of the year, at the end of a game, a temper flares up and he gets tossed. I think this could be an issue, but I don't think he's going to get in his own way necessarily.
NFL overreaction or reality? You got to do a little projection here. Tua will be the first starting quarterback benched this season. Now, if you don't think he's going to end up being the starter, then I would assume the answer is overreaction.
When is Penix supposed to be healthy enough to...
Six months ago. No, I'm just kidding. It feels like, I mean, remember, he told us that the doctor said, you have had the greatest, I don't know, ACL recovery in the history of medical science, and you'll never have a problem again. But he's not getting the time that Tua is, and it feels like Tua is a lock to be the week one starter at this point. But you also have Kirk Cousins, Geno.
Well, see, and Kirk Cousins, I think is, I don't think he's good, but I think he's.
I like the way that was structured.
Good enough.
Okay.
To get 8 games.
Okay.
But that also depends on, again, I think that Kubiak's going to do a phenomenal job calling that offense. So can their defense make the stops? That, I think Tua is the one.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Tua is the one. The other one is Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett is fourth on the list. It goes Tua, Geno, Cousins, Brissett. Deshaun Watson's fifth on the list.
Why would, they would bench Geno because he's winning too much. And
yeah.
They don't care about
like,
this
hey,
season.
Jerks, do you know how much we like Dante Moore?
Yeah, they're like, we're after something else right now. What are you doing, Geno, coming back here and trying to show you can play again? Reginald Atatula say you could do it again this year?
Oh, man. They put Klubnik in there? Klubnik?
What about Kyler Murray?
Okay. Kyler Murray is...
I got eyebrows from Alec over there.
Sixth on the list.
He's intrigued.
Followed by Malik Willis. So those are your top
seven. Why would you
seven.
Ever cut Malik Willis, dude?
Or no, cut.
Why would you
bench him? Because
that make any sense.
He might have the Geno Smith syndrome where he wins too
Dude,
much.
Dude, his receiver coach the other day just said, we block. That's what we're going to be doing. We're not throwing
the
ball.
No block, no rock.
Yeah, and he's like, that's letting you know.
That is what he actually said.
Look, if you want the football, you have to block is what he's saying. But he's really saying, we're never getting to a down where you're going to be able to catch the ball.
I think the Dolphins should give us at least a conditional fifth for Mingo. Overreaction or reality to you, Alec. Tua will be the first starting quarterback benched this season.
Reality. Dude sucks at football. He's not very good.
What do you think about Penix then? Injuries aside.
Michael Penix.
Okay.
I
don't know why that's on a hotkey.
I really do like Michael Penix, as you refer to him.
That's what you said.
So I actually did see... I think it was yesterday, or it might have even been this morning, in the Falcons joint practice, I think with the Colts, I want to say it is. Yeah, it is. And Daniel Jones threw a 50-yard touchdown pass to Josh Downs. Cool. Immediately on the next play for the Falcons, Tua throws a pick six. So it hasn't looked good in camp. It really hasn't. And I think that they're looking for any reason to believe that Penix is healthy right now, because I do think Michael Penix is a good quarterback in this league. He just needs to stand upright.
McDaniel smoke and mirrored Tua into believing he was good. For a little bit.
Man, he's smoking mirror the organization, too, when they gave him that contract.
I'm interested about Shador, though. There's nobody that I love behind him, but how long how long of a leash do they give him? You know, what's the pressure from Monken? You know, I just don't know what it is with Shador and whoever that court starting. Where is the Cleveland quarterback on the list?
Deshaun is in the top five.
Interesting.
Because the option of Shador is there.
All right.
And one of their other 8,000 quarterbacks. All right. I'm intrigued on your answer on this next one. Overreaction or reality? The NFL should actually use the precautions they do with Jackson Dart on far more players. So the Giants quarterback is puzzled at how often he gets concussion checks. The argument here would be that should be the norm, not the exception. So overreaction or reality, the NFL should actually use the precautions they do with Jackson Dart on way more players.
They don't?
I don't think so.
The statistics, like, don't... I feel like, dude, anytime you see a guy awkwardly get hit, he goes to the tent.
Yeah.
And I feel like Jackson Dart's just being a crybaby about it and saying, why am I being picked out here? Because his coach stepped in there once and he shouldn't have been stepping in there. I understand he's in an important position too. Also, dude, you get leveled all the time. Like, that's, you're the one that's putting yourself in the position to get knocked out like that.
Right.
I think they do a pretty good job of it in general, Kevin.
Okay.
I also think the players do a really good job of going and picking their teammate up before he has a chance to look like he's stumbling all over the place.
And that's why I do kind of wish they would pay attention like a little bit more.
It's tough. Yeah, I get it.
But we go to you, Alec. That feels like, I'm not kidding, that feels like when you look at the money that the NFL makes, that should be a dedicated job per game. Like, you should have one dedicated, I'm not kidding about that, watching for this specific thing. So, Alec, we go to you. Overreaction or reality, the NFL should actually use the precautions they do with Jackson Dart on far more players.
I'm going to go overreaction.
Okay.
I'm not against player safety. I'm kind of with Corey where I'm like, you're a meathead, dude. Stop putting yourself in those positions to get leveled. So, because you look at guys like Lamar Jackson who run a lot. They know how to avoid contact, how
right.
to get down at the right time. I mean, there's even guys that you don't think of as good runners or great runners that still know the basics of when to get down, when to go to the sideline. Like somebody that I think of, Jordan Love with the Packers. Like, he's another guy that I feel like he, for the most part, knows. Like, I have the ability to run, but I'm also not going to sacrifice missing the rest of the game or even a drive for this.
And RG3 was one of those guys that like, he was like, man, I need to stop running and
yeah.
getting that extra yard. I need to go out of bounds. But guess what? He just couldn't keep himself from doing it.
Yeah, because the appeal of that extra 3 yards or whatever it is always there. Now, we've talked about this a little bit before, but I saw some people when we were talking about roster spots earlier. So I want to throw this out to you while we're bringing it up again. Overreaction or reality? Malik Davis is your RB2, full stop.
Yes.
Easy?
No, he's a defensive end who might get ejected from most games.
Not Ezeraku, but well played.
I don't think that Malik Davis has as high of a ceiling.
Agreed.
I think he has a high ceiling and a low floor. I don't know what the floor or ceiling is for Blue. So that's the only reason that I'm giving him more time. I think that Blue, I feel like I kind of know what I have in Mafa. I feel like I'm there. I understand it. But when it comes to what Blue got to run behind the other day, it wasn't much.
Yeah.
It wasn't perfect. It wasn't great. And maybe it doesn't need to be perfect all the time. It can't be. But I think that right now Malik Davis knows exactly what to do in those situations. Can I find maybe a better running back than Malik Davis? Probably. But right now I'm going to continue to give Blue the opportunities knowing that I know what I got in this
yeah.
guy.
Okay.
It's kind of like what happened with us, Kevin. Everybody knew that they had the KNC masterpiece on the weekends, but they were like, but we'll still give these other things some opportunities. And then what ended up happening?
So, Alec, we go to you. A question we have discussed in the past. People continue to bring it up. I'll make it simple. Overreaction or reality? Malik Davis is RB2.
Reality, I wanted to be Phil Mafa. I do.
Ooh, okay.
I flipped on the preseason game the other day to listen to what Isaiah Stanback had to say on the TV side of things.
He's great to listen to.
He's awesome. And he was borderline salivating over Phil Mafa and the idea of what he could be. I always forget. He's 6'1", 230 pounds.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
He is massive. And I like the idea of having a Latavius Murray-style running back, too.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Perhaps more NFL overreaction reality tomorrow. But coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus how turning down $500,000 can make you look like a visionary. Next Ooh. On The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Oh, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet. Alex, that was awful.
One for Alex, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call.
Yeah.
The pride of Mansfield, Texas, and the mayor of the Medford Plex. 877-881-1053 is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. Plus, one of the rare times that turning down $500,000 can make you look like a visionary. We'll get to that here in just a little bit.
What about turning down a replenishing $10 million?
Stop.
Because of Corey's ridiculously intriguing hypothesis,
yes,
or a hypothetical question, I've been researching the prices of private jets for around $10 million.
But what about the environment, Kevin?
I'm going to be like, I can just be like all those other celebrities and be like, oh, it's so important, then fly my private jet and be like, ha, I don't really care, dummies.
That's true. And if you want to know what we're talking about, next fan hang and or remote.
Oh, yeah.
You can ask Corey and he'll tell you all the secrets. Guys, before we get to the question of the day, I have a question for the Tolos. You guys know I like to shop Tolo if I can, and my family does specifically. As of last night, my dad has placed an order for a new Tesla, and he is looking to get ceramic coating on it. So if there's any body shops or anything out there, anybody...
Shield.
You know what? That is a good question.
That would be incredible if they were wanting to pull that off.
I feel like I should know, because I know they do fences too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me ask you this. With your dad,
yes,
would he consider...
It's a ceramic coating that works on virtually every surface.
I mean, this does feel like a flaw in our knowledge of the product. Do you think that your dad would ride shotgun in the new Tesla on auto drive and put
I know exactly
and put R2-D2 in the driver's seat? Because I really, really want to see that.
He would. You could talk him into it.
Hell yeah.
You absolutely could.
He still hasn't met your dad.
That's true.
Yeah,
what's up with that?
When are we going to meet that man?
Does he actually exist? The world
Dude,
may never know.
That's a great question.
If he doesn't, I'd be like, so you own your own house? You need to be quiet. I'm just
kidding. Yeah, all the bitching I've been doing lately is definitely a farce.
How wild would it be, though, if Alec was just born of nothing? You know, like, just he just existed in the world.
Like Anakin?
I was about to say.
Or Jesus?
Well, that was born to a virgin. No, I'm just saying, not even like this nothing. Just he just existed. He was just there.
Oh, which came first, the Alec or the egg?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
We'll ask
saving
it next
that
the
for
fan.
Some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm marking
segment.
That, but... But yes, we do live in the Mansfield Grand Prairie area, so preferably close to that. But if the service is good, we don't care as long as it's in DFW.
You are getting texts, so.
And I will be writing all of them down and passing them along because he likes to shop Tolo whenever he can. But shout out to Hurtado and DFW Security, a couple of places we frequent.
You know what? I just... Like 30 seconds. That is a great point, because whenever people ask about like how you can support the station, obviously listening is huge. But if you're in the market for any of these things, like getting a new car at Platinum Chevrolet or changing up the protection on your house with Rhino Shield, that is a huge way that you can help out us and the station.
That is correct. And speaking of the station, I feel like we're going to talk about it a lot here, because today... It is August 20th. You know what that means. It is National Radio Day.
What?
I only know that because of Odyssey.
Oh. Well, I mean, I feel like that's fair. But I know it because I'm a dork, and I care about that. So, the question of the day is, and you can always find it on Twitter before the show even starts, at Alec on the Radio, if you want to find it there. Already got a bunch of great responses underneath it. Why do you love radio? And who made you love radio? 877-881-1053. It could be an on-air figure. It could be a family member that maybe they had a show they listened to a ton, and you were just like, you know what? Because I spend so much time with my dad or something, I love listening to it now. But if it's an on-air person, if it's a family member that got you into it, if it was a show, let us know. But why do you love it, and who made you love it?
Okay, this is actually, there's so many different phases in life that I've loved radio. And now that I think about it, I did not realize it as much. But here we go. When I was a kid playing baseball, It was riding in the car with my dad, or the truck with my dad, to and fro baseball practice. Well, guess when baseball practice is? During baseball season, that when Eric Nadel's on.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And so Eric Nadel, now at the time I didn't have the, because I was a kid, but I didn't have the same respect that I have for him now of like understanding the detail in which he goes into. But at the time I was just like, I'm listening to a guy talk about baseball and I'm caring about my baseball team. And as I got older, 105.3 Young Country had Stubby Doak on at night. And Stubby Doak would do the top 8 at 8, and I would listen to for some John Deere Green song or some Garth Brooks song about hooking up with an old lady on a farm.
Whatever. Oh, that is a great song. When I said she never, she simply said that's all right.
I went to work for her that summer. Yes, yes, dude. It was awesome great. And so, like, that's so Stubby Doak had me hooked. And then, it's kind of wild that I would sit in the car listening specifically for that, and now I work at 105.3, the dial number that I was listening to as a child. And then, as I got older, I found Dan Patrick and Randy Galloway. And it was actually, honestly, Newey Scruggs and Chuck Cooperstein. That was the lineup, I believe, at the time. And those shows hooked me. I was like, this is what I want to do. Sports talk radio is the way to go. I love it. And Randy had such a, you could hear him talk about the game, but at the same time, he was also having fun with everybody he was around.
Right.
And I was like, that's it right there. So I think like that's the navigation that got me to this place was, I'll be honest, Jagger and Julie in the morning.
I loved
Slim Jim
Jagger
back in the day, dude. Yeah. It was great. So we've been very blessed here in the DFW area. Not only do we have great radio broadcasters that do the play-by-play, but also we've had some great shows be in this area.
You know, I think I've told this story before, but for me, it is 100% Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey, time for news.
Sounds so right, doesn't it?
He's the person who got me into this entire profession because I felt like he stretched in my mind what it was capable of. Because, you know, he would tell you about like updates in the foreign geopolitical scene, and then he would transition and then end it with like, and that little boy who got fired from his paper route turned out to be Dwight D. Eisenhower. And now you know the rest of the story. And I was like, what? And he is, I've said this before, he was the greatest transitioner into commercials I'd ever heard in my life. I didn't know there were commercials because he would just be talking, gives you his, such a folksy voice. And he would be like, speaking of, I was talking to this lady the other day, and she was just the kindest woman. And you could tell that she was a little short on money and struggling to make ends meet for her kids. And that's why it was great that she was shopping at the Five and Dime. And you're like, hold on, this was a commercial the whole time? And so Paul Harvey is absolutely the person who made me want to get into radio. And I also wish I could give more than 10 Odyssey points. I just tried to
give 10?
Yeah.
I only get 5.
Because that's what it starts. You can go up to 10. Because I rolled my eyes at my computer because I wanted to give all my points to Alec, and it wouldn't let me.
That's nice. It's the thought that counts.
So you only got 10. That was the max.
I gave 5 to Alec, and I gave 5 to
Aiden.
He salutes.
Can I go back and give 5 more?
I don't know how it all
works,
honestly.
Can I give increments of 5 and just keep
getting spending? Oh, that's a great question. If I could just re-go back in and give the 10 every single time.
No, you've already done this. And you're like, ugh.
Well, because I try to submit it, and they're like, what's the category?
Suit's trying to keep you down, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And a giveaway. Come on, suits.
From the 214, the G-Bag Nation is my why I love radio. My satellite radio subscription went out, and when I turned on the regular radio, it was on the fan, and G-Bag was on. Look at that.
Dude, I that is one of the things, is when I was commuting from UNT back home to Dallas, Dawson was on.
Right.
And so, I could drive out there and hear some stuff, but then at that time, there was nothing on. So Dawson was there, and I was like, all right, I'll give this guy a chance. And I was like, oh, man, this dude's fun. Like, this dude, he's after something. And there was always some good fun intent and some interesting takes. So, yeah, Dawson got me because he, as they used to say when we were on nights, no competition.
Yeah.
But that's a great way to actually, you know, create and build your own brand at the same time.
And at some point, you also have to recognize you have no competition because you drove all the other competition away.
Yeah. That's right. You stomped all over them. That's why. From the 201, grew up in New Jersey, used to listen to Howard Stern in the mornings and then Mike and the Mad Dog Show in the afternoon. What a time to be alive.
Man, that's a great answer. And like, you just love, I love reading some of these stories about how locked in you are with these people. They feel like a part of your family. And from the 601, I'd be riding with my grandmother and she would say, shut up, Paul Harvey is on. And I definitely get that. Well, we had Norm on for our final day with Bassick. I just thought that was so cool because he's like, you know, been doing this for so long, and everybody knows Norm from HSE to doing the radio to every sport you could conceivably imagine.
My mom hated his voice when he was when he was on the baseball games, and she was just be like, just turn the game down, I'll watch it.
Aww.
And I was like, oh, man. And so, you know, I guess my mind, I was like, I'm supposed to hate it. Then I heard him more, and I was like, dude knows what he's talking about.
Well,
and then one day, Kevin, I was working at the 33.
Oh, yeah.
And he came in to be on one of the sports segments we set up. And I got a chance to talk to him and told him, hey, I work at a competing station. But he was like, I know who you are. And he had his binder with all his newspaper clippings in it.
Yes.
And I was like, you and Kevin are one and the same. And then I was like, well, I really appreciate it, you know, everything. And he was like, Corey, I'll tell you this. This is the most addicting business you'll ever be in. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're so right about that. And he is.
I used to, and we eventually got to know the man behind this nickname. And he was a great, great guy. But I used to always, because of Norm, go, Frito.
Yeah.
Like all of the time. And then you met the dude and
Frito,
he was awesome.
Frito's the reason I'm here. And he's no longer with us. But whenever I was an intern over at ESPN for Ben and Skin, Frito was their producer, and I worked my ass off while I was there. I did a bunch of stuff to make sure that I was making an impression. And he said, we've already offered a job to one guy. If he doesn't take it, we want you. And they'd offered it before they decided I was good, you know?
Oh.
He ended up taking it. Once that guy took the job, he said, I want you to go over to the Fan and apply there right now. He said, because you're going to be great in this business. And I can't say I'm great, but, you know, we've tried.
Hell yeah.
And it's thanks to Frito for opening that door and convincing me not to leave the city. He was like, dude, right. You already have your foot in the door here. Don't go to another place. He was like, a lot of people work their whole lives to be where you are. And then we had to work a lot harder to get where we are now. And now we got the Tolos on our side.
Boom.
And then for me, it was easily Kid Craddock and then the Russ Martin Show.
Kid Craddock was huge.
Yeah.
I should not have been listening to the Russ Martin Show at the age that I was, but Dan O'Malley taught me that you can be entertaining, funny, and still be a good person. So that was important for me to learn. Guys, we're going into a little bit of collectible corner here.
Oh.
Because sometimes turning down $500,000 can make you look like a visionary. Well, this time it ended up paying off pretty well. So, you've probably heard of the name Macklin Celebrini. He is a star
for
the San Jose Sharks. And so there was a card of his, a one of one from the 2024-2025 Upper Deck Young Guns set. The Outburst Gold card was pulled by a young collector in Canada named James. And he immediately got a bounty offer from a collector in Canada for $600,000 Canadian, which is about $426,000 US. He immediately said no. He said he was going to hold on to it, kind of like the Cooper Flag debut patch owner. He's like, no, I'm going to hold on to it, see what happens. So he decided he was going to hold on to it for not too much longer. He pivoted a few months later and submitted it to Golden Auctions, where the card ended up selling for $1.281 million after the buyer's premium. So he turned down an instant, the day he pulled it, He got an offer for almost $500,000. He's from Chicago, so we're using the U.S. dollar. And he said no. Everybody's like, what the heck, kid? Take the money. He submits it to Golden Auctions, and he gets over $1.2 million instead.
Savvy decision. Savvy. I love it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Where would these international NFL teams be located anyway? Next on The Fan.
Receiver goes in motion to the left. Snap to Hurts. Standing and looking. Throws it in the middle of the end zone. That's intercepted. That's a diving interception to the post by Trayvon Diggs. Wow. That's a heck of a play for Trayvon Diggs.
Indeed it was. Right now, let's go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip.
Dip it and rip it.
Let's start with further discussion about Trayvon Diggs. We talked about it yesterday that he was signing with Seattle and the possible implications in terms of Terrion Arnold. But this was the part that really caught me off guard. Trayvon Diggs turns 28 next month. He is 27 years old, and I realize I should be more cognizant of that, but doesn't it feel like he's 33 or 34, the way we've gone through all these injuries and delays and everything? But he is only 27 and about to turn 28.
I can understand that, and sometimes it feels like life is longer for some.
Right.
But no, for me, no. I'm sorry to answer your question this way.
That's totally fine.
Kevin, we live two different lives, obviously. And
true.
That's what's happening here.
That is true.
Just because I remember when he was drafted. But I guess that big season also, he felt like he was already a veteran. And he
yeah.
was so young. So that's a good point. But yeah, he put himself through a lot of stress that was unnecessary.
Indeed he did. Now, let's go from that to Tyler Warren exited practice for the Colts yesterday. It looks like he's going to miss about a week
okay.
with a groin injury. Not surprisingly, Patrick Mahomes will not play again this week.
That's it.
And then that makes sense that he wouldn't play, right?
Why? This is a guy that needs to get out on the field.
He is still coming back from injury at
He's
a very
prove himself.
Rapid pace. He does not.
You have to prove yourself every day, Kevin.
Okay.
The rent's due every day.
Actually, well, obviously, I do believe in that, but I would be willing to float him a couple weeks.
Can you imagine if you had to pay rent every day?
Yeah, because of your weird scenario. By the way, come out to Ramon and ask Corey about that.
When that happens, who knows?
If you want to keep an eye on Travis Hunter, he has been practicing mostly at cornerback.
Okay.
So take that for what
you
will.
Yeah, that was the plan. That was the plan initially.
And that makes the most sense to me, is use him in offensive packages to be sure, but primarily use him as a cornerback.
I thought he was a better cornerback than he was receiver.
Yes.
That was how I always felt. Then I looked at his receiving yards. I was like, damn, he's a really good receiver too, but... he can make a big impact on your defense.
Now, we asked Steven out at training camp, and everyone picked up on it, about selling portions of the franchise. Well, the Atlanta Falcons...
Hold on. You just threw that in as like a... Everybody picked up on that, dude. Other, like, people across the country started having the conversation.
We got the pulse, baby. So the Atlanta Falcons are selling 10% of... their team. But what's probably the most relevant about it is at a valuation of $10.6 billion. So, like, obviously you're going to pay $1.06 billion for that 10%. And just think about it. The Seahawks, pending approval from the owners, are about to sell for $9.612 billion, which that will be a record by itself. And then here's a valuation for Atlanta that would put the team theoretically at $10.6 million. And so I know I'm not breaking any news here, but it is astonishing to just see the rate at which the values of these NFL teams are going up. So we just watched, my wife had never seen Any Given Sunday. And since we were having a conversation about the best fictitious football coach and everything, we watched it. And I think it came out in 99, I want to say. And that was one of the big things, is Cameron Diaz is like, we could sell this team for $250 million. And I was like, wow. That is the most poverty franchise that you can imagine in the NFL today. Right now, like, if you got 10 times that amount of money,
Dude.
$2.5 billion, it would be a joke.
That's what's really funny about that, Kevin, is you say that they thought they were saying a big number at the time, but they were also being realistic within their number.
Sure.
And why? You're in Hollywood. Why be realistic?
Yeah.
You should have said $20 billion then.
Yeah, or if you even said $1 billion, people would be like, that's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, it was like you know, Dr. Evil, and everyone's like, that's not a big
and
number.
And doesn't it feel like whenever you're dealing with that big of a number, you shouldn't be that concerned whether or not your old quarterback can still play and this young guy on a small contract can?
That's fair, and with all due respect to Marvel movies, I believe that Any Given Sunday really started the trend of the post-credit scene, because there are some pretty enormous narrative developments in the credits of that movie.
When, did this recent Spider-Man have a post-credit scene, or is that not in Sony?
It did.
It did,
because I remember, because the guy in the mobility scooter was mad. He goes, I waited 9 minutes for this S, and then sped off.
Oh, man. Because I didn't stick around.
Yeah.
Because I was like, it's going to come out on Disney or whatever soon. I'll just watch it there.
I don't want to. Okay, well, then I don't want
to
ruin it for
you. Adrian seemed
ready
to leave. Actually, you can. I don't care.
Okay, well, I probably won't do it on air then, in case people haven't seen it yet.
Hey, it's a movie where a guy shoots webs and saves the world. So what happened?
I'll tell you. I'll text you.
All right, everybody, turn your radio down.
No.
Turn your radio back up.
Okay. NFL Protector of the Year. And what they are letting you know is, you know how we
Tyler
know.
Tyler Smith.
Okay. You know what his odds are to win Protector of the Year?
1 to 1.
75 to 1. So, you know how we've learned the MVP is a quarterback award?
Mm-hmm.
We are learning that NFL Protector of the Year is a tackle award. Here are the top five candidates: Penei Sewell, Tristan Wirfs, Garrett Bowles, Creed Humphrey, and Joe Alt. And so,
Creed Humphrey's a center.
Ooh, so
he's widely considered the best center. Yeah.
But he does seem like an outlier in this. So mostly for tackles, but that is a good point. But Tyler Smith still not on the NFL top 100, and that means at this point we're up to number 12. So here's the top 20.
He's the number one player on the top 100.
That would be
what this means.
Then what a hell of a deal.
Would he be the first offensive lineman at number one?
I don't know, but my guess would be yes.
I'm going to guess yes also.
But think
prove
about,
me wrong.
Okay. James Cook, 20. Justin Jefferson, 19. Patrick Mahomes, 18. Jonathan Taylor, 17. Picking up where we left off. Ja'Marr Chase and Derrick Henry are 16 and 15. Brian Burns is 14. And Trey McBride is number 13.
Do me a favor real quick.
Sure.
Can you run me, do you remember the Cowboys that have already been listed so far?
Yes.
And where they've been listed? Do you remember that number?
Dak, Pickens, and CD are the only ones. And I think Pickens was like 38, and CD and Dak were in the 50s, if I remember correctly.
Okay. I'm a little concerned that Tyler Smith's not on the list.
CeeDee Lamb is 55, and maybe I got Dak off. He's probably
was he higher. Maybe in the 30s?
George Pickens was 36, and Dak Prescott was 31.
Okay.
There you go. So I conflated the wrong people together. So 31, 36, 55. I hear you. I do. But when you see that Tyler Smith has been elevated to the top interior offensive lineman in the game, I think that means he is in the top 12. But I want to
think it too.
Yeah.
I really want to think that this is the respect and fear he has by the players around the league.
For sure.
But I also, understand that he plays guard. And if this is the case, if he's in the top 12, he's already elevated to maybe even beyond Zach Martin status.
Would it be weirder to you to say Tyler Smith is in the top 5 or not in the top 100?
Not in the top 100.
That's what I think, too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What about number 1? Would it be weirder to you if Tyler Smith was number 1 or not in the top 100?
Not in the top 100.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's number 1 in my heart, so.
Oh, ahead of Zach Martin?
Well, Zach Martin's not playing, Kevin.
Oh, okay.
He's retired.
Mm.
He's lost some weight, too. Looks fantastic.
Oh, man.
He's a strong man. Are you starting to think that maybe you're right about this and maybe he's not in?
Oh, dear. So this is interesting.
Oh, no.
Sorry, international teams. We'll pick up with you tomorrow. Who's number one? I want you to think about this. Josh Allen, Will Anderson, Saquon, Myles Garrett, Jahmyr Gibbs, Drake May, Christian McCaffrey, Puka Nacua, Bijan Robinson, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Matthew Stafford, and Patrick Surtain.
Well, Jaxon Smith-Njigba's defensive player of the year, so.
True, but that's 12 right there. And there's 12 spots. Holy moly.
Dude.
Did I just miss Tyler Smith somehow?
If Tyler Smith wasn't on the list, I'm Clayton Adams, I am raising hell in that locker room.
Yeah.
And just, I'm printing the entire thing out, stamping it on everybody's locker,
saying
the disrespect.
All right. This was NFL saying who was going to be number one at about the halfway point. So some of these people like Saquon have already been on the list.
Oof.
No, he'll be on the list.
Wow.
No, but that also concerned me. And I don't know
why. If he's not, who do we punch?
It doesn't actually matter in terms of football, but you're right. I think that would piss me off.
Yeah.
We're the KNC Okay, sorry, Jerry.
Jerry, you should be pissed too.
Yeah. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on The Fan.